Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. Tonight's episode is a hot take edition, and we've got a couple of good ones to get to and plenty to talk about because this team is a complete bleep show and keeps giving us more content. Today's content is that Christian Campbell has been sent or optioned down to Worcester and is no longer with the big league club, despite the fact that he is signed to a long-term deal worth $50 million. That is the topic I'm sure that we will get to. So for now, we're with Chris and Mark. Mark, welcome to the podcast. This is your first episode. It's great to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Chris, why don't you get us started with a hot take that caught your attention and what you think about it.
There's so many good ones this week. But you know what? I'm going to go with Caleb. Healthy Bregman and a righty bat away from winning the division. I would say prior to the Devers trade, it wouldn't even be a hot take. I think that the hottest part about the take is winning the division. The hole that we dug ourselves in, I mean, I think I was doing the math and I put it in our war room chat the other day, is we were on like the biggest heater we've been on in almost like, it feels like a decade for this team. And at the end of it, we were still 6 games out in the loss column against the Yankees, despite them losing, I think at that point, 5 in a row. So, I mean, it's a pretty hot take at this point. I think that we've got them into a little bit of a tailspin. I think maybe the Rays will catch them. I can't see us winning the division. It's hard to say that that's a reality now without Devers, even if we do get a righty bat and Bregman, although Bregman is that righty bat that we need. So it's kind of a oxymoron there. What are you guys' thoughts?
Mark, you want to lead us off here?
Yeah. I mean, I think first and foremost, if you're going to win the division, you need to get another front end starting pitcher. And, I really don't know how you're going to do that, without giving up top prospects, never mind guys in double A or whatever. It's going to take too much to get that this season, right? Maybe next year on the free agent market, since they freed up so much Devers money, that's something that they can think about. But I just don't think this year, even with Bregman coming back, I don't think they can do it without front end starting pitching. And I mean, the pitching's been good, don't get me wrong, but I'll ask you guys, do you think what they've been doing the last couple of days is sustainable? You know?
Yeah. We talked about that on last night's episode and it's not. I don't believe. You don't know how long the starting pitching's going to be here. It's been so bad. And I know it's been so good, except for Buehler for the last 10 days. And they're playing better defense, but Duran misplayed that ball last night. And then they score a run on a pass ball or a wild pitch. I don't recall which. There's still indicators that they're ready to boot ground balls and play bad defense. We highlighted some other things, so I don't want to get into it too far, but Roman Anthony just completely misplayed a ball off the wall, and thank God Rafaela was there to back him up. But there's the little things that good teams do well. This team's not doing them. Yeah, so, I don't think so.
I was going to say, it's a great point. I wish I'd mentioned that the starting pitching, it's a must now as far as this team going forward, even just for the playoffs, like forget about winning the division. If they're going to get a wild card and be able to build anything that's sustainable without Devers, it's going to have to come with starting pitching. The crazy thing is like we traded Devers and we didn't get a front end starting pitcher. I was finally starting to get over it, Mark, and you just reminded me of how mad I am about the return on that trade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but largely it was a salary dump. So, you know, you're not going to get better players out if they're going to eat the entire contract.
Yeah. The other thing, Mark, that you mentioned that I want to hit on before I give my take here, you mentioned that there's freed up Devers money. I don't assume that that money is going to go to other players.
Nor do I.
My name today is John Henry tips less than 20%. And there's a reason. He's a cheap prick and he doesn't give a bleep about this team, and his dollars are not going to go into the big league club. It's not going to happen. So anybody that thinks that,
I totally agree. Why.
And if so, we get prayer, boys, it actually will. It just won't be in this sport. It'll be for the new soccer team that he has purchased.
Yeah, yeah. He'll go get a blue line defenseman, for the Penguins over in Pittsburgh. So healthy Bregman and a righty bat are away from winning the division. I have been increasingly looking forward to Bregman coming back. I know he's been practicing and working out. So they haven't said when he's coming back. That's going to be a huge boost, guys. He's the leader of this team. Having your leader in the clubhouse, even when he's not healthy, needed, good for the club, good for leadership. But then you put him back on the field where he can lead by example. And I think it's going to have a calming effect on the clubhouse, especially with the disarray with the Devers thing. I have never thought this team was capable of winning this division. I don't think even adding a top of the line right-hand pitcher digs you out of the hole. The Yankees have been playing absolutely terrible. They won today. They beat the Angels 7-3. So they kind of righted the ship, at least for today's purposes. But I don't expect them to go into another tailspin where they just don't score a run for 30 innings. So the answer to the bottom half of this tweet is it's going to take a collapse, I think, from the Yankees, as well as how well you have to play to leapfrog Toronto, Tampa, and the Yankees. I don't see it happening. Now, if they wanted a starting pitcher, they have all the resources to go get it. Okay. Campbell being sent down doesn't make him untradeable. And we're going to talk about this, so I won't go into it. He's just not there yet, and I have another position on that. But the password, I have no idea how to pronounce that guy's name, by the way. So the password fits for me. He's lighting the world on fire. He's creating a market for himself. There are other things going on. It's not like this entire roster is built on the big league club and the prospects that are now on the big league club. There's other depth there. I'm not going to get into it. I don't think that's what this hot take segment is intended to do. But if you want to, you're the Boston Red Sox. You can flex your muscles and go do it. You have all the resources in the world. Don't tell me you can't. You know, so now will they? No, they won't.
I totally agree with that. And, part of having good prospects is being willing to part with them, to get major league ready talent. And we had to trade Kyle Teal to get Garrett Crochet. And that's just how it is. And that's how it works.
Yeah, and my final take on this, and then we're going to move to your hot take, Mark. I've been saying this on this podcast since I've been on it. Assuming a minor league prospect is going to be a productive big league player is just such a mistake. It's like an NFL football fan wanting the backup quarterback. He's a backup for a reason. Now, are there prospects that rise? Of course. But most prospects flail out and don't become quality big league players. So I'd much rather go get the known commodity, the known asset, a guy who's in the bigs and is doing it, than to hold on to the hope that 4 to 6 prospects are going to become 3 to 4 good big league players. It's just not the metrics. That's not the math, how it works out in this sport. So I'm with you on that. All right, Mark, it's your turn. I'm going to lead you in here. Jake Ford, who is, his handle is at JTFord07, says Roman Anthony should be down with Campbell. What say you, Mark?
I think the sample size is too small right now for that. I mean, Campbell's been here since the beginning of the season. He did well in April. Now we've seen 2 months of, you know, 4A baseball from him. Defensively, he's not ready to play that position. And I think they know it. And I think that's a big part of why he's going down at this particular point. I mean, I know he hasn't been hitting well, and they probably have a book out on him, right? But my thing with Roman Anthony is the sample size is too small. And like, people were clamoring to bring Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony up. And now, you know, how quickly the people turn, right? And it's like, oh, he needs more work now. And it's funny because a couple of weeks ago when the Red Sox said he's not quite ready yet, he needs a little bit more work, everyone was like, oh, no, he's ready. Bring him up. And now they're saying, you know, to that gentleman's tweet, you know, he should be sent down. He's not, you know, which implies he's not ready to play in the major leagues yet.
Chris?
I'm not quite there yet. I would agree with Mark. I think the sample size to this point is on the smaller side. However, if it continues, I don't think they should let it get to Christian Campbell levels if the production is as poor as Christian Campbell for as long. You know, it's interesting because Christian Campbell came up, was red hot, and then kind of just dovetailed off. Mayer came up, had some struggles, but seemed to kind of have his moments and is kind of stabilized. He's not lighting the world on fire, but you don't look at him and go, oh, send him back down to AAA. I mean, Roman Anthony's been, he's like the exact opposite. He's been cold as ice and just can't seem to catch any fire at this point. It's a limited sample size. His defense also hasn't been that great over in right field to this point. I could even argue that while Campbell has looked skittish since he came up here, Roman Anthony, in the short time he's been here, has had more costly mistakes out of the two defensively. I'm not there yet, but it could very quickly get there for me to where you're going to have to bring him down. I think the only hesitation I have is that as long as he shows some sort of sign of life, how the heck do you? Like, what are our options? I sure as hell would rather see him than the other options we have until Abreu gets back.
So my take to this hot take is twofold. Number one, I'm just going on the eye test, all right? Christian Campbell doesn't look big league ready on any level, defensively, offensively, running the bases, confidence, body language. He doesn't pass the eye test as a big league player for me. Roman Anthony does. He has a plan. He has an approach. And he's just scuffling. Now, I could be wrong. And he could turn a 2-for-22 into a 3-for-35. And we got a problem on our hands. But he looks like a big league player, at least offensively to me, the way he carries himself, his body language. And the same for Marcelo Meyer. He hit another home run yesterday. He's contributing offensively. He's not lighting the world on fire. But again, he's a young kid, rookie. But he looks like a big league player. He passes the eye test. Christian Campbell does not. Okay, now, and this dovetails into my second part of the take. The only reason Christian Campbell was on the big league club is because he took the contract that is team friendly. That's it. Okay, so I hate to go back to John Henry because you know how much I hate picking on him. But this cheap prick, all right, through Sam Kennedy, who all he does is lie. Okay, that's all he knows how to do. Promotes him when he's hitting a buck whatever in his first big league camp. So it's not merit-based why he makes the big league club. And he's thrust into this thing that he's just simply not ready for because he was willing to take the $50 million.
Do you think it happened? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Roman Anthony, who I believe is ready, Marcelo Meyer, who I believe is closer to ready than Campbell is, don't, because they have the audacity to say that's not enough money, that's not my market. And so now instead we're going to play the service time nonsense. We are going to keep them despite injuries. I almost said Pawtucket in Worcester, and essentially right. Left Roman Anthony for last, even though he's the most big league ready player. So this just goes back to my comment about they're not going to spend the quote save money from Devers, and the handling of these three players is only based on dollars and cents. It is not based on what's best for the athlete. It's not based on what's best for the big league product. It's based on dollars and cents. It is pathetic. It is pathetic. And if they fail, and one or more of them will, we, the fan, need to hold John Henry and Sam Kennedy accountable. It's not just fire Breslow. It's he's being puppeted by those two pricks. And I, you can't convince me otherwise. And the handling of these three players is in a, it just so perfectly sums up how they're handling this team.
Do you think the driveline thing with Campbell has anything to do with him being up as well?
I've heard that, and I don't know.
I want to get you.
So the drive. So I'm a nerd, but I hate those nerds.
Yeah.
And I've said this on the podcast before. The math aspect of it, the odds of it, the analytics of it, it has a place. Okay. But it doesn't substitute common sense baseball knowledge. Mm-hmm. Man on second, no outs, you need a run. I don't care that the analytics say 23.4% chance he's moved over anyways on a sac fly or a fly. No, shut up. Just bunt and get him to the side, to get him over. We are playing the analytics. We are the worst situational hitting team I have seen in my adult life. And I've been watching baseball since I was like six. It's pathetic. They don't have a plan. It's because it's just, well, the analytics say swing the bat. And so I just, it has a place, but we can't be run by it. And then you bring in these driveline people who go ahead and get into a fight with Jim Rice in spring training, which I'm not going to get into, but it's anecdotal anyways. And you have non-baseball people giving baseball advice. Is that logical to you guys? It's not logical to me. Now you can say, hey, Alex, you played in the bigs, right? You won a World Series. So here's some information. What do you think? Well, it depends on the player. Maybe I might let that. I almost said Devers. He's not with us. I might let Duran, who has a higher pull rate or whatever, hit in that situation with no outs and a man on second, given that his speed is also a factor. But if it's Campbell, you can't apply the same analytics. It just there's no touch and feel with the management of the game. So I can't stand the driveline guys. I drive them to Logan. and that would require me to fly, drive to the airport, fly to Logan, go to Fenway, pick them up, and drive them to Logan. I'd still be willing to do it.
Well, there's two points that you both touched on that I want to kind of just chime in before we move on. Is so to your point, Jeremy, I would agree. I think it's the contract 100%. But that kind of speaks to another thing. Because, you know, you also mentioned that Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer didn't sign those contracts, right? Because they, quote unquote, know their value and their market based on the, you know, their prospects, rankings and whatnot, right? And what they project to. What's the differential or difference with Campbell? Like, why do you think he did sign his contract compared to those other two?
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
I have a thought, but I want to see if you guys are on the same page.
I think he was worried about what happened to Cassis.
So, like, he moved up really quick.
I think that's, look, I mean,
he moved up very quick through the rankings and the prospect pool. Yeah. And I agree with you. I think he was worried about becoming the next Cassis.
Look, there's two prevailing theories here. I mean, most of the time you're in one camp or the other as a young player. $50 million is a life-changing amount of money. And I would never blame an athlete, a young athlete who hasn't quite gotten there, to take the money. All right. And I simultaneously don't have an issue, if you're a gambling man, to go say, if it's not 120, I'm going to max my thing. I'm going to hit the arbitration 1, 2, 3 times. I'm going to max out my arbitration years. And then I want free agency. I don't want to be selling off my free agency years because I think I'm going to outperform the contract. To that person, to that player, I'd say you might want to check in with Tristan Cassis.
Right. Cassis bet on himself and lost.
And he's lost, and he probably will lose because his arbitration numbers, if he even gets there with the Red Sox, it's going to be problematic. So I get both sides of it, but there has to be a point where you're willing to give top dollar back. I mean, it's different if you're like Alex Bregman, for example, right? You might want to go a certain place so you're not seeking top, but he's already made his money. This is his second big contract. If you, and I don't know what, you know, maybe they're from different families and, you know, somebody struck oil in Texas or whatever. I don't know any of those. I don't look into that, but it's a life-changing amount of money, and you know, they're never going to get Roman Anthony and Marcelo Mayer to do it at $50 million. So I don't know where the negotiations are, and with Roman Anthony, I think you're going to have to get, you know, close to some of these other deals where like the Atlanta organization is signing guys and stuff like that. And do I need to bring it up again? John Henry's not going to do that.
Right.
All right. Anything? Don't give me an opportunity to rail on John Henry because I'm going to take it 11 times out of 10. All right. Anything else on Roman Anthony should be down with Campbell? Oh, I guess I never actually gave my direct take. Oh, yes, I did. Sorry. Anything else?
Just one thing that you said that was interesting, you know, about you just kind of thrown it in, Breslow being fired. And some of the things I jotted down today before the podcast was, I think at this point, Craig Breslow is unfireable. And the reason why I say that is, think about, this is one of my hot takes. Think about how many people turned down the job. I think it was over 10.
It was.
Okay. Like 11 or 12.
With the box were like, yes.
Yeah. They were like, nah. So they're like, all right, we'll give it to the former player, Breslow. He doesn't have a ton of experience, yada, yada, yada. So even if they did want to fire him, if they do, once again, these potential candidates are going to look and say, you fired Bloom after, you know, 2.5 years or whatever it was, 3 years. He didn't even last his contract. You fired Breslow after, you know, 2.5 years. Why am I going to move my family and my entire life over here? You're going to tell me, right? You only have a certain X amount of millions of dollars to work with. And you got to make sure you develop all these kids and that they're all superstars, even though we know that if two of the three even become pretty good major league players, I'd be happy with that. So I don't know if you fire Breslow again, they've dug themselves in such a hole. Like, what message is that sending to potential front office candidates? Like, two GMs in a row, or whatever you want to call them, baseball operations guys.
Yeah. We talked about this briefly last night, Mark, and I'll take it one step further. With the handling of Devers, with the AI bots doing the first round of interviews, we touched on that last night. Yeah. So I would take it one step further. What player would want to sign here? What front office executive would want to sign here? What file clerk would want to work here? You know, all of the positions that go into traveling, all of it, everything is just, it's an absolute dumpster fire. And I'll tell you this, we're only getting some of the more juicier tips. There's other nonsense happening behind the scenes we don't know about yet. There's some reporters out there that I haven't heard of so much in the past that are reporting on the Red Sox. And for whatever reason, they're fine with ruffling feathers. And I'm here for it. Go dig in there. Talk to the guy that got fired because he called Breslow a stiff. Do all of it. Get all of it out there, because the only way this thing gets fixed is it gets washed away and somebody else comes back and builds it in. And unfortunately, that's never going to be the case with John Henry, because he's not selling the team. So if he was, I'd be out holding the sign on the
reality corner, is wherever. The only way someone's going to do that. Because I agree with you, Mark. I don't think Breslow's going anywhere for that exact reason. I know there's people out there that think like, oh, if let him pick his own manager, change up the front office, get rid of the Eddie Romero's and everyone that's part of the organization for how God knows how long, since we were winning 20 years ago, but can't figure it out now. I don't even know if that would be enough. The truth is, to your point, Jeremy, John Henry's not going anywhere. But if John Henry was like, I'm literally getting rid of everyone, including Sam Kennedy, the next person that I choose has carte blanche to do anything that they want, and I'll be hands off, just write checks. I think that's the only way serious contender or serious candidates would get past the first round of bots.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. Sam Kennedy exerts so much of his influence on this team, and he's a complete piece of bleep. So, all right, let's get to my hot take. If you guys don't have anything else. Yeah. All right, Cal. Oh, Cal. At C-A-L Noel, N-O-E-L 24. Thank you for watching, listening, and tweeting into the hot takes thread. Here's your hot take. The Red Sox are a better team without Devers. Now, there are some things that have come out in the last 48 hours that go to show, or at least indicate, I should say, that the clubhouse is not necessarily upset he's gone. Okay. And it gives roster flexibility. Okay. But he's a top five hitter in the game right now. And so when the news broke and I was on that night as an emergency pod, my position was as follows. The timing of it made no sense. You just swept the Yankees. We're finally back in some semblance of a run. And you just cut the knees out from underneath you. To me, you at least through the All-Star break into the deadline or at the end of the year would have been the time for this trade. There's just, despite how he was handling management, despite his comments about Breslow, he was still hitting at that level. So at the end of the day, the contract in 3 years may look terrible and we can come back and say we won the trade. I think personally, at least until Bregman comes back, this team is going to struggle to score runs. And I'm also, and I mentioned this last night as well, I'm extremely concerned Duran's going to put a lot of pressure on himself to pick up the slack, and that's not fair to him. Roman Anthony is now hitting third in the lineup as a 21-year-old rookie. It's not fair to him. By optioning Campbell back to AAA today, you've admitted you weren't fair to him. And I'm not going to go through the balance of the lineup, but there's too many soft spots. Backup catchers, absolutely abysmal. We're getting no offense from whoever plays second base. So, and Toro, as well as he's hit, that's not, you know, water finds its level. That's not where he's going to be at. So at the end of this process, right, when we get into when either Devers breaks down or that contract goes to hell in a handbasket, we might have a different take. But for the 2025 version, this team is not better without Rafael Devers. It's just not.
Yeah, even if they, you know, even if the distraction of him being like, no, I'm not playing first base. No, I'm not playing third base. He's still going to get up there and hit bombs. And he's going to hit, you know, he's going to hit opposite field doubles. And he's going to spray the ball all over the place. And he's, you know, he's just too good of a hitter. And, you know, I think two things can be true at the same time. And I think that the Red Sox blew it with their communications. And I think that he was too petty about it. And I think both of those things are true.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of points. Chris. I mean, listen, it's no secret. I'm probably the least pro-Devers person on the podcast. Doesn't mean I don't like Devers, but you could make the argument based off of the things that you said, Jeremy, and you as well, Mark, that the last couple of days, there's an argument to be made that they have a better culture than they did yesterday. All right. That's the only argument you can make. And again, I don't even necessarily know if that's 100% true. Even me, who was at some point, you know, complicit with trading Devers, I agreed that when we did was not the right timing. There's no argument to be made that they're a better team now. You got rid of a top five hitter. We don't have another person that's a top, arguably almost 500 hitter in the league at this point. And I know that's an exaggeration, but we're probably closer to that reality than not, sadly, at this point. And as far as winning the trade, unless Harrison turns into a front-end pitcher, you know, a bona fide two or a really good three on a championship club, and this Tibbs kid turns out to be at least close to an all-star, there is no argument to be made that we won this trade, even if it turns out to be better in the future, because you could lose that trade and still be better for it. You know, both things could technically be true, but the point that we are a better team, no, we are not a better team.
If the tweet was, as you characterized it, Chris, that we're a better culture based on the things I've heard in the last 48 hours, I think that would be something I could get behind. You know, there one thing that you know, I'm hearing inconsistent statements, so I don't know if it's real, but if the reporting that Rafi Devers was irked by Christian Campbell's willingness to play first base, if that's a real thing, that's the most damning thing I've heard. That another young player is trying to make his way. He does want to try to help and give the club what it needs. and that you actually have a problem with that. And I don't know if this is true.
I think Campbell and Cora both technically shot that down to some degree, but
oh, they did.
I would take it a step further. I think the point that you said before, we've got a lot of guys that have played with Devers now for a couple of years, right? And when they all came up as kids on their own, he was the big guy on campus when they did. And the fact that nobody, because we all thought like a player like Duran would be like crying in the locker room. And the fact that no one flinched, and I don't want to say didn't care, but it was just like, hey, 25 other guys.
People get traded. Like,
yeah, he got traded. Like, we're still here. We're going to still, you know, chase this thing. And that was the end of it. And the fact that the newer guys were like, we don't get paid to have an opinion. Like, it's not our business whether someone gets traded. Doesn't matter. It's pretty damning in itself.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, if this, water finds its level. If this pitching can be closer to where they have been in the last 10 days than where they're, I think they can find a way to win some games and hang around and at least put that pressure back on the front office as we get towards the deadline. And then we can kind of revisit all this. But, you know, as I'm even saying that, the way Breslow's handled the deadline last year, I mean, it was just dysfunctional. Every move failed like right away. So I have concerns that they're about to go the wrong way, that some of the things they've been putting duct tape on are going to pop back out and we're going to have problems. They start booting the ball defensively, They're going to go on a bad losing streak.
You know, it is an interesting thing though, that before we get off the Devers topic that I read today, and I didn't even realize this. So Devers led the league in errors at third base for his position last year. And you know, he's the first MLB player in history to, I think, from 2018 to 2024 to lead errors at his position every single year for that long.
I did not know that. That's not great.
So, yeah. I mean, that is kind of damning to him. And again, I'm not saying we're a better team. I know we are not a better team to this point. The only way we would become a better team by the end of the season, and I know it's like a crazy rumor out there and it's just like ridiculous speculation, go get me Ronald Acuña Jr. from the Braves. You do that, depending on what you give up, as long as it's not a lot of things from Major League roster. All right, now we could talk about us possibly being a better team. But until you do something like that, you spend the damn money, we're not.
That's not going to happen.
I know.
All right, so as we sit here, that was so defeated. Now I feel bad for saying it. All right, so as we sit here today, we're on the eve of the Giants series. As I said last night, Rafael Devers is absolutely going to blow up on us. We are 5 games back from the Yankees in the AL East, and we still hold, despite being idle today, the last wild card. We're in sole possession of the last wild card. So Chris and I gave our opinions on that last night. Mark, why don't we end tonight's recording by you just giving a minute or so on how you think that series is going to go.
Yeah, I think Devers is going to go bonkers. I think he's going to have a great series. I think he's probably going to have a multi-homer series. That's just kind of how it works sometimes in baseball, right? You get traded and then you just, you know, you take it out on your old team. I think the Red Sox take one out of the series. And I think
I think
the good feelings that everyone had, and then you're going to see Devers explode. And then, you know, I think you're going to see, again, like we said at the beginning, I don't think the pitching that we've gotten is necessarily sustainable. I mean, look, they can do it, right? But, you know, I just don't think it's going to be where we're winning games 2-1, 2-0, 3-2. I just don't see that happening this weekend.
The only thing I didn't mention last night, I can't wait for the petty factor, which is Rafael Devers is going to get a start at first base in this series.
Yeah, that's,
you know, he's going to make some diving play in the hole, flip to the pitcher covering to beat Duran by half a step. And I'm just going to shut the game off and go to bed.
Yeah.
Anyways, any lingering thoughts, comments here, guys, before we shut it down for the night?
Yeah, before we shut it down, you know what? Even though you shot down my hopes and dreams, Jeremy, I'm going to bring a little bit of positivity back to myself. You actually said something that made me think of another idea that has something really nice attached to it. You said the last wild card spot. I'm telling you now, If somehow we can hold on to that last wild card, there's going to be a Netflix special next season called The Last Wild Card. It's going to be about this team. And I just want residuals. I want whatever money on that Netflix. Make sure it happens. Saved by Grace is the handle. Chris Felico is the name. So let's all hope.
And that would be mean that my preseason prediction was accurate. So, all right. So that's going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball Hot Take Edition tonight. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. Go Sox and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.